This is Penn Jillette here in Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting here with Michael Goudeau.
Good morning.
Just the two of us again.
Yeah.
Just the two of us again.
It's so lonely.
Yesterday we had Provenza and Randy, and they were screaming.
We need to get the comedy team of Provenza and Randy
back.
Oh,
man. That was good. That was good. That was very good.
Really good.
We'll get them back another day. But now it's just you and me again.
Yep.
That was kind of fun. Everybody screaming at everybody all the time. And Provenza telling those nutty stories about doing comedy in Dubai. I was a little embarrassed because he was telling these stories about Dubai and Abu Dhabi and stuff. I don't know where those
are.
Abu Dhabi.
It's a candy bar.
I don't really know. I mean, I guess I know the
food aisle, Smith's. Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi is at the food aisle in Smith's. You know, when we were over in Egypt, you know, Penatelli did all these shows.
Yes.
Over in Egypt.
I didn't get to go on those.
No, you didn't. One of the only things we've done. We haven't brought you along. And you should...
Clearly
you should
it was a mistake, wasn't it?
You should be right down kissing my feet because of it. It was a nightmare. Just a little piece of advice to people listening. Don't ever leave the country. Under any circumstances, don't ever leave the United States of America. There are a lot of problems in the U.S., a lot of things we have to work on. There's a little less freedom than perhaps we'd like. There is more of a I was going to try to say that word. What does
theocratic?
It mean? Theocratic. Well, how would you say if it's theocracy? Theocracy?
Theocracy might be the word you're looking for.
Theocracy.
You said it.
It's a good word, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's getting to be more of a theocracy. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
It's getting, United States is going to be more of a theocracy all the time.
Speak a little lower, please. That sounds more official.
Okay. The United States is going to be more of a theocracy all the time.
Boy, that's good. I could go on, like, Meet the Press or something with that. Meet the Press still on?
I don't know.
I don't even know. That Sunday morning intellectual. You remember when you were a kid? Sunday morning TV just sucked.
Yes.
You had Davy and Goliath. Remember Davy and Goliath?
Hello, Davy. Look, I did an impersonation.
You
I'm so
one.
Proud. That's my first.
That's your first. You did. And Goliath is a big dog that the kid Davy's going to try to hit in the eye with a stick and kill.
Yeah.
But don't ever leave the U.S. We went to Egypt, China, and India.
Mm-hmm.
And it was horrible. Now, we did this stupid thing. You know, we had this, we didn't have this idea. Some Canadians had this idea that they should do a few documentaries, right, on magic in other countries.
Crazy stuff around the world.
Street magic. But they wanted to do street magic, not magic that was done for Westerners,
right,
but magic that was done for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant, see, we didn't understand this when they said it, which meant instead of going to beautiful tourist places, we would be going to the worst places on Earth.
Where most magicians work.
Where both magicians work. And magicians in India are, rightfully so, a very low class. And I don't
here, too, they just make more money.
Exactly. They're like, in the caste system, magicians are down with lepers. Where they should be. I mean, right down there with puppet people, you know? And we went to these horrible slums. And I was just going to try to tell some stories about being in the horrible slums outside of Delhi. But I realized I don't think there's any sort of chance of getting anything lighthearted or comedy-like out of it. I think I would just turn into Sally Struthers or something right here. We're the same weight, Sally Struthers and I.
Wow.
Yeah, we are exactly, precisely the same weight.
And almost the same height.
No, she's a little taller. I wanted to, like, tell these stories because I thought that maybe we'd get something out of it and it might be interesting. And it's true. I could tell the story and it might be interesting, but I think it is such
buzzkill. We'll end up crying and
I think I'd end up
taking
crying.
Calls.
Yeah. You see things, and I was told this before I went to the slums of India, but you see things that the rest of your life change you. You know,
right.
There's human suffering that I'm sure intense human suffering exists all over the U.S. Of course it does. There's no doubt about that. And there's, you know, cancer wards and horrible suffering. This is going really good places this morning. I feel very
cheery
about
show.
This. Very cheery. But in these other countries, it's so in your face. You know, you can't run away from it. And
you have all of that, plus the addition of squalor.
Squalor, yeah. I'm not even going to go into that at all because I think it's a bummer. And probably, you know, this is a horrible thing to say, but probably you're better off not thinking about it. You know, probably better off not. But we were in Egypt, and we got into a talk with some Egyptians because the place is lousy with Egyptians.
They're all over, aren't they?
It's swarming.
Weird.
If you want Egyptians, go to Egypt. They're all over the place. And they were trying to ask, they asked me, you know, what we thought about Egypt. What do Americans think about Egypt? And my only answer was, we don't. We don't think about Egypt at all. And I guess that's supposed to show how foolish, you know, Americans are and how tunnel visioned we are. But, you know, I didn't think about Egypt. And what is it you say about Canada?
Oh, yeah, Canada. Everyone in Canada, this seems to be true, everyone in Canada knows everything that's going on in the U.S. and politically and socially everything. And for the Americans, Canada's a place to go fishing. It just seems to be our awareness, you
and
know?
That expression, you know, that idea really cuts both ways, because it builds up the Canadians that they know so much about, you know,
yes,
their neighbor to the south, and it says so much about us that we're oblivious, you know.
Right. But I have moose there.
I don't think it's necessarily that. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm being forced to kind of accept my Newfoundland.
Yes,
roots.
That's right.
There's a big article. I mean, a big article.
Big article.
Not front page, but in The Independent, which is a Newfoundland newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of controversy about me because I made some jokes about Newfoundland on this show. And then somebody, I guess, just pulled just the Newfoundland part of our
just
show.
Just the insult part out.
And I don't know if you're allowed to do that. Can you just pull something from a radio show and play another radio show?
I guess.
Because if you can just pull something from another radio show,
it's going to save us a lot of time.
A lot of time. We could find radio shows that are better than ours and just put it in our slot.
That's
Michael Goodall.
Great idea.
We present, you know, you know, and just put on, you know. Put on Alex Bennett or something.
Steve Dahl.
Put on someone like that during our hunk, if you could do that legally. But they did that, and people in Newfoundland got up in arms, and rightfully so.
Sure, if you just cut out just the quotes, you can make it say anything. Really.
And, you know, especially if you cut out the part that I've taken one vacation in the past, you know,
sure,
15 years, I chose to go to Newfoundland and loved it with my wife. We went, we had a fabulous time. You take that out, then some of my jokes did sound a bit harsh. But there's this article in The Independent written by this woman who I wrote a letter to and didn't write back to me because
Darcy.
Why would she?
Darcy
yeah.
wrote it.
This woman named Darcy. I assume a woman. I mean, Darcy could be a male Newfoundland name.
You've done it. Darcy's now man.
I think I wrote it to Ms., so I hope it's a woman.
Uh-huh.
And hope she's a woman. And it's a really nice article that really does put it in the right context. But now AM Canada wants me to be on to talk about the dealing with my roots back in Newfoundland.
Uh-huh.
And all sorts of stuff. So we better watch out. One of these days,
you've done it. Now you're gonna be the most famous guy in Canada. Take over for Ravine.
When we were, well, people don't know that, but Peter, good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller.
Peter Ravine is Lance's manager.
And a famous hypnotist in Canada. Apparently a huge, huge hit there.
But a famous hypnotist in Canada. That's like, you know, that's like weather records.
Every Canadian I've spoken to knows Ravine.
The coldest Wednesday in September in Death Valley. You know, most famous hypnotist in Canada. But he's from Australia, right?
He's Australian,
that's,
yes.
That's where that stupid accent comes from. You'd be very careful, right? Because Ravine can fire your ass.
Accent.
Ravine can fire your ass in a New York minute.
That's
right?
True.
You just do that.
He could.
Speaking of weather records, I'm gonna segue into this. Aristocrats is now number two on Amazon.
Yeah, because that has something to do with the weather.
No, you know, because it's a limited record. Is what I'm saying.
This morning, you were like, come on, get to number two, get to number two. And yesterday, you were, get to number two, get to number two. Today, it's at number two. The only thing you've said is, oh, my gosh, I hope it stays at number two.
Well, I don't think we're going to go up against an exercise tape. We're not going to win against an exercise tape. You know, you look at the New York Times and these people that work all these years on beautiful, wonderful, insightful books, and they're always beaten by, you know, how to lose weight by eating dirt.
Yeah.
That's always the number one bestseller or something like that. So you're not ever gonna win there. And the other thing they told me, and I don't know who told me this, when you have a movie out, when you're like the producer and you sold the movie, and you have people that work for you,
uh-huh,
the people that work for you, like Farley Ziegler, who who has really worked heavily on Being John Malkovich and all these great movies, and worked
the
and
movie, not actually Being John Malkovich.
It's not. What is it called?
Yeah, it's Being John Malkovich. It sounded like you said she was working on Being John Malkovich.
Okay, she was working on the movie.
You're just having
Being John Malkovich.
Intonation issue.
And she's fabulous. You know, she's just wonderful.
Yes.
She does a great job, and she does all this work. Her life is the aristocrats. And her part of her job, I think, is to tell me and Provenza something great every day that's happening. Hey, boys, you know, you're doing all this press. You're up at 5 a.m. yesterday. You're doing all these interviews. It's really paying off, boys. I heard from a friend that at the Blockbuster in L.A., it was the fastest rented video on a Tuesday they've ever had. Woohoo! Which I guess is a big deal. But, you know, it sounds like, you know, the coldest, you know. Yes. Eddie Gorodetsky always goes about these all these things. So how was your show last night?
My show was fabulous.
It went well?
It went very well.
I'm always afraid, and we come back. We had a 10-day break from the Penn & Teller show at the Rio. And when we come back, it always feels like someone's going to die. You know, because you do this show, and the show that we do, you know, is a tough show. It's a hard show for me. You know, I'm. You know, both of us are working hard, and there's complicated stuff, and there's guns.
Right.
There's guns involved, right. And there's some stuff that's not supposed to be dangerous, but could be. You know, could be if we did something wrong. And during the 10 days, have you ever practiced?
No, and I don't even warm up before I walk back onto stage.
Never.
That's a rule that I have. It's actually a rule. I must walk onto the stage without having juggled anything after 2 weeks of vacation. I'm going to juggle knives and a chainsaw, and I don't want to warm up or think about it.
Well,
anyway.
Chip and Grace went to see you at the Lance Burton show right after a two-week vacation, and they said you threw a knife into the audience.
I did.
and you said to people, you're lucky to be alive. I'm back from 2 weeks vacation. And I always remember that we come back. You know, and I'm playing the bass before the show, and my fingers are bleeding, and I go out there, and I'm backstage right before I go on to do, like, you know, a 12-minute monologue, running through the lines, going, okay, what is it? And then, because I talk so much on the radio about the day I screwed up and couldn't think of...
Right, the cue.
One simple objection, because I couldn't think of that. I had in my head backstage, I'm never going to remember it, never going to remember it. I'm all choke. But we got through the show fine. There's a lot of skeptics in town. You know, Randy was here yesterday.
Right.
The place is lousy with skeptics, which is exciting. But not as exciting as, what is it, in September, they're having the rock, paper, scissors?
That's right.
Competition.
April 6th.
Like I said, September, April.
Yeah, very, very close.
Very, very little difference.
$50,000 prize.
For rock, paper, scissors.
That's right.
There's this guy named Rafe, who is one of the Tilt Boys, and the Tilt Boys are this loose organization of, like, you know, Paul Phillips and Andy Block and all these poker players, you know, that bet on anything. And there's a book out on them, on the Tilt Boys, and there's some cool stuff going on. And my wife met the Tilt Boys. She met Rafe. And they're going around our house, and they get into this argument about the number 42, whether it's the answer to everything in The Hitchhiker's Guide. So Easy makes a $50 bet with Rafe about this and wins the bet. And what Rafe does is he does double or nothing on everything all the time. So he's down $50, and he says, double or nothing, rock, paper, scissors. And Easy says, can I just walk away with the money? And they go, oh, sure, but you'd be cool. You'd be cool with the Tilt Boys if you went double or nothing. So my wife, who's tough, says, okay, I'll go double or nothing. So Rafe, they're going to do rock, paper, scissors. And then she's been burned by people who are cheesy at bets before. She's been burned by people who will lie to win a bet or leave something out.
Really? You know? Yeah. Anyone we know?
Maybe. And so she's saying, this will be rock, paper, scissors, and your hand will be attached to your arm. And there's only three things. There's not a bulldozer that you can throw that kills
Jell-O.
All of them.
You can't throw Jell-O.
It's just those three things, rock, paper, scissors. He goes, yeah. And then he starts this thing, because he is like this rock, paper, scissors genius.
The pro.
It's pro. So he starts this monkeying as what we would call something else, what Chris Angel would call mind freak. You know, get most of the letters in there, mind freak. And he says, I'm going to throw a rock. She goes, what? He goes, I'm just telling you, before we go, I'm going to throw a rock. This is a psychological thing. Because then if you go, oh, what if he means rock? So I'm going to throw a rock.
Uh-huh.
And Emily looks at him and goes, well, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to throw a rock. And so this is this whole charge situation.
Sure.
Woohoo! I'm the king of this, and you can barely play. So she says, let me practice once. Okay? Let me practice once. And she turns to the person and goes, this is just practice. This doesn't count. I want to make sure I'm playing it right. She goes, rock, paper, scissors. She throws scissors.
Right.
And then she turns to Rafe, who's doing this mind freak on her. Woohoo! And she goes, I didn't really just throw scissors. That was just practice. I didn't really throw scissors. That was practice. You understand that was practice? So now he's going, I'm going to throw a rock. And she's going, this is just practice. This is just practice, right? So they go. So now there's this tension because he is the king of Mind Freak.
Right.
And she's just someone who produces golf commercials, yeah. Right? She's, you know, they're teaching her her idiot husband
she's
to play poker.
She's awfully cute.
Yeah, that's it. So, they do not know with whom they are messing. You know?
No, they don't.
They have Slim Shady with breasts. And, and so they go, rock. Paper, scissors, and three, she throws scissors. So she has done what he says he's going to do. Throw the, and he throws paper, and she goes, boop, and she's now got $100. So then he has the audacity to take a $100 bill and sign it with great flourish. This was won by from Rafe, and signs it, you know, to show that she's got this big thing. So she went to the gift shop, broke the $100, bought him a trinket that said good luck and gave it to him and said, looks like you need this. So so I don't know if Rafe will be playing in the rock, paper, scissors thing.
There are only
thing.
250 contestants. So.
I wonder if he's one of them.
Could be.
So you want to enter? What does it cost to enter? Do you know?
I don't know.
Should we go and enter
that.
And just go in there and just... I mean, there's only three choices.
Yes, well, there you go.
And I guess there's some psychology to it. I mean, is that psychology when you say, I'm going to throw a rock?
I think if you're mute, you have as much chance of winning as you do.
But maybe there's like psych outs
definitely.
In the eyes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's
some signal
stuff.
People do.
They can pretend there is, but it's just chance. That's what I think.
Well, the question is, it's like with poker. Do the same people
right.
win over and over again?
Well, Scotty always argues that there is strategy to it.
And, to rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah.
And the same people do win over and over?
I don't think so.
Well, Scotty is wrong about everything.
A lot. Well,
yeah,
a lot.
A lot. Not wrong about everything.
He hires me to juggle with him sometimes. That's a good choice.
We're at Free FM, where we can talk about anything, and we've chosen to talk about rock, paper, scissors. Because we can talk about anything, we'll talk about rock, paper, scissors,
all
damn
day
it.
If we want to.
You know, yesterday I may have been talking about atheism, it may have been things that were a little bit strong, may have been skepticism. Today, it is rock, paper, scissors, because freedom is the freedom to be stupid. And don't you forget that. Everybody has the freedom, if you're smart, to go to college and be brilliant. The freedom is to be a math whiz and to get knocked up at 14 to work at McDonald's. That's what freedom is. Freedom is the freedom to do stupid things. Freedom is freedom to live like me. That's what Free FM is. It's freedom to be a whack job. It's freedom to be Al Goldstein. No one needs freedom to be Albert Schweitzer. You need freedom to be like me, to be a nut, to say anything that pops into your head, talk about rock, paper, scissors. If you want to talk about freedom, amen, 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, 3733, the freedom to be stupid, Penn Radio, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O, at gmail.com, PennRadio.com, and we'll be back to exercise our freedom by being as stupid as we please. I'm going to throw a rock. I'm going to throw a rock. What do you mean by that? I'm going to throw a rock. I'm going to throw a rock. The Mike Jones Orchestra, they're playing us in with the big pendulum theme. One of the rules when you're doing radio, you know, and we're learning this on the fly, and you haven't done a lot of radio, so I'm trying to teach you.
Thank you.
Is you don't stay on one subject. Even if the subject seems hot, you don't stay on it for like 45 minutes. You don't do 45 minutes on a sucky cover of your DVD.
It really, is that what you're talking about?
Well, that, and you also don't, if you got one subject, you know, you can do anything on any subject, but keep moving. Keep
right.
moving on. Change it up. Change the ideas. Keep it moving.
Right.
So we're going to take a call about rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, perfect.
on line 12.
Line 12. Nick.
How you doing, boss?
Ooh, Nick's breaking up a little bit.
You're breaking up a little bit. What are you, on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Who's the carrier? tell us about rock, paper, scissors, bro.
Okay. Well, I have a friend who helps run the D.C. Nationals, and...
Listen, man, if you're going to keep sounding like that, we can't talk to you, I don't think.
I don't think it's his choice. You think he's choosing to sound like that?
No, I don't think. I wasn't threatening. I was just
Maybe
saying...
Maybe he's making that noise with his mouth.
I was being apologetic. I was saying if we have to hang up on him, it's not because we don't want to hear about his friend who's involved in the National Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Maybe someone else will call in with the National
Maybe someone
rock,
else will
paper,
call
scissors
in.
Thing.
Do we still have Renee on line six?
We do have Renee on line
we
six.
Should, we should. Could. She's still upset about the word. Are you there, Renee?
Yeah, I'm here.
There she is.
Hi, Renee.
Hi.
Aren't you supposed to say long-time listener, first-time caller?
I'm a long-time listener.
Oh, yeah, but you called.
Been trying to call for
days.
Call
what?
I'm a long-time caller.
Renee.
Never getting on.
This is Renee, one of my really best friends. And
yeah?
She's married to Rob Pike, another one of my best friends. Which consolidating your friends is a very good idea.
Very clever of you.
Makes it easier for the visits and so on. So we're not. I don't want you to think we're talking to a stranger. If we say something very rude to Renee, that isn't the way we treat strangers. It's the way
great.
We treat our friends. Go ahead, Renee. Kick it.
Okay, I just wanted to talk about the M word a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, Renee is very bothered by a word that begins with M. Is there any other word that bothers you at all, Renee?
No, there's a console.
Console?
But I can say it. The other one I can't say, but console, and then the sound of a wooden spoon mixing batter in a plastic bowl.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you want to turn up cover your ears for a second. We'll tell
cover
the audience.
Cover your ears for a second. The word Renee hates is moist. The word is moist.
You know, when you do
That's
a search, a lot of people don't like the word moist.
Is that true?
That is true.
Yeah.
See?
She's not alone in
and
this.
And what are your reactions to that? Is it the idea? See, this is easier to talk about because there are a lot of people who are bothered by words that are in the Aristocrats a lot. There's a lot of people bothered by obscenity. Do you believe that your reaction to the M word is similar to other people's reaction to, for instance, the C word?
I've tried to figure it out, and I thought maybe it was the oi sound,
uh-huh.
but hoist doesn't bother me.
So it can't be hoist is fine.
So you could
good.
Split it up. Yeah,
it's a little hot even.
And then oist.
No. So I think it's the like Duncan Hines commercials, like when I was a kid or something.
Really?
The cake in a box thing.
So is it the concept of
M?
The M word that bothers you, or is it not the sound of the word?
I think
hoist is fine.
Well, if hoist is okay, I guess it's not the sound. But it's I'm afraid of spiders too, and I don't know why.
But
when
spiders?
I hear the M word, it's like a thousand spiders.
Crotch is fine.
And spiders in the crotch is fine. It's not the word with the M.
44 spiders.
You know, okay.
I'm afraid we can't help you.
Is there anyone else that's bothered by a specific word that's not an obscenity? They could call in.
Wait, and I wanted to thank Randy.
Oh, wasn't he great?
Well, I wanted to... The thing is that when... I didn't know that you guys were having a show on Hair Professor Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Day, but you did. And that day you mentioned the M-word, and my cousin Chrissy called and said... They said the M-word...
Uh-huh.
On the show.
Uh-huh.
And I was glad I'd missed it. So, but then, I don't know, last week or something, you had a show where you said it 5,000 times.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, and so then yesterday, Randy was on, and he said my favorite word in the world, snood.
Snood.
And so it sort of, it made everything okay.
Okay, so snood's a fun... Is snood the antidote to...
I think it is, yeah.
So if I said he had a moist snood...
No.
She ran from the phone.
She ran away from the phone.
Sure.
Well, that's Renee. That's Renee
no.
French. Oh, she's there.
I don't think the other one made it on any of these lists. You
it doesn't.
Have the list of movies with 100... You know,
yeah.
hundreds of
yeah.
F words, but M was not one of those.
I don't remember
I don't
the M word being in the Aristocrats, actually.
I don't think it is it?
I don't even think Saget
we'll
said
do
it.
A search.
We have to do an advertisement on the box of the Aristocrat. Then we'll go to number one. Then we'll beat the exercise.
We're at number two. We're number two.
We'll beat that if we just if we put a big thing on the cover. We have plenty of room on that lousy cover to put in very big letters, does not contain the M word. But there are other people that have that same. What if it's Hulk from Duncan Hines?
You know, we actually have another call of someone who has a word that they don't like.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
So we switch on over.
Okay, Renee. We'll talk to you later.
On line five.
She laughed like we weren't supposed to hang up on her.
I don't know.
It felt awkward, didn't it? Like she's a friend of ours.
I know, we were being mean.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. I have to call her after and say I'm sorry.
Line five is Basil.
Line five, Basil. Come on, talk to me.
How you doing, Penn? I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, thanks so much, boss.
I hate the word ointment.
Ointment?
It kind of sounds like a pig when you say it. You say oint.
Ointment?
You have to make your mouth in a pretty funny shape, too. I always hated that word.
But does it feel like spiders are running into your crotch when you hear it?
I do get a little itchy sometimes when I say it.
A little itchy. But is that...
So that's what would require the O word.
The O word.
That's right.
Maybe those are related.
Well, thank you, boss. Ointment. And I won't say Renee's word because I already said it to her once directly.
A little bit of her word is in ointment.
Man.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Although that might clear up some of it. The ointment.
Yeah, I guess so.
We have other callers. We have other callers with words they hate. Apparently, this is a hot topic.
Good. Hey, when we talked about atheism, you know, and
no
the Pope
callers.
Said, no callers. They don't. Everybody agrees with that. But you get to words that people don't like, we go crazy.
We have Joe on line 8.
Joe, line 8. Talk to us about words you hate.
Guys, how you doing?
Never better, boss. How are you, man?
Very good. When I was in fourth grade, my teacher used the word criteria 15 times a day. criteria, this is the criteria.
Now, I'm very bothered. I never really know the singular and the plural of criteria.
It brings me nightmares.
Just the idea of the singular of it.
But what is the plural is criteria.
Right, Yeah, right.
These are the criteria, but I think this is the criterion. Is that right?
Criterion.
Criterion?
Yeah.
Well, boy, you're in your fourth grade. You barely know, you know, criteria, you know? I'm in fourth grade. I'm in my pants still, lady.
Criteria. And you think that's, but this problem is specifically not Duncan Hines' fault. As probably ointment is not either Duncan Hines' fault. But criteria and criterion.
Criterion is singular.
There is one criterion.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, and that is to have several criteria.
I always want to put an M. You all say together, "Good morning, Mrs. H," and the date together. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot,
man,
boss.
We're telling you're going wild.
Thanks, boss.
Line five,
thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks a lot, boss.
Line five. We got Perry calling from Jersey. He has a word that he hates as well.
Okay, boss. Lay it on us. Boss, you there?
Perry, are you there? Oh, there you go.
Hey, boss, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good. Okay.
Hey, I don't really have any words that make me cringe, but an ex-girlfriend of mine, Diana, anytime anyone would say the word placenta, she would, like, totally quiver and curl up into a ball.
Placenta.
I don't see how the whole saying a word thing can have any physical effect on anyone, but placenta would totally send her straight to the ground.
Placenta. So the criteria would be a moist ointment on the placenta. Now we've just lost so many of our listeners. Thanks a lot, Barry. Thanks so much, boss. You know, do you have any sound that bothers you?
No, not really. I didn't like buckaroo for a long time, and I don't know why. I just didn't like the word buckaroo. Buckaroo Banzai fixed that for me, though.
Did it?
I don't really like Earl.
I had a little trouble with hegemony.
Okay.
I didn't like the word hegemon because I never was sure I could say it. And I want to say it, but I wasn't sure it was going to come out right. But it is hegemony, right?
As far as I can
hegemony?
Tell.
Hegemony? Yeah, I think that's what it is. The sound that drives me crazy, and I'm getting better about it as I get older, but when you fold a piece of paper and you run your fingers across the top, and people will do that nervously when they're folding a letter, and even licking an envelope, getting your tongue near a paper.
Oh, yeah.
man, that can make that just makes me nuts sometimes. But I'm getting better about it. Ever since I saw Jackass and they did all those paper cuts and put lemon in them,
right?
That made me feel a lot better because I went, it's not that bad. You know, Johnny Knoxville is doing it. I can handle it. So we'll be back right after this with more moist ointment on the placenta. And that's the criteria. Okay, sorry. Free FM. This is Ben Gillette with Michael Goudeau. Thanks, everybody, for calling. We'll be talking about some other stuff. Maybe we'll talk about the Pope. See if that gets more calls than words that bug you. You know that introduction where he goes, and now Ben Gillette, the big guy from Penn & Teller?
Yeah.
A lot of people think that that's for the people listening. It's for me. You know, that the last thing before they, that I need to hear before I talk is who I am. You know, I want to be defined. I'm the big guy from Penn & Teller. I need to know that right before I go into the spot. You know, you and I are live performers. You've been performing live since you were what?
Yeah, 16.
16.
Yeah.
And I guess I was about, 14 or so. You know, I started doing talent shows. And you do, what, 250 shows a year?
I think more than that. I think maybe 350.
1,000 people a night, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a quarter of a million people
right
a year.
Yeah.
And you're getting all this feedback all the time, and you don't become needy at all. You know because you're getting more reinforcement than any human being would ever have. It's not like you say to your wife, is this funny and all that stuff. You don't have any of those problems. I don't either. Doing radio, however, no feedback. We finish a show. Two guys who are used to half to three quarters of a million people a year reacting to what we say. We finish the show, we look at each other, we look at Travis in the room and go, is that okay? We go,
seems all right.
Yeah. And then we go away. And so there's nothing to structure us, to form us. Even if you are the most single-minded performer, even if you're Captain Beefheart or David Allen Coe or Sun Ra, even if you're one of those people who doesn't care what anybody thinks, you still hear the reaction. And even if you react to it negatively, you still
you have
adjust.
A gauge. You have something to drive
it. Even if you don't acknowledge that you pay attention to it, Provenza reads all the reviews of the Aristocrats. He reads them all. He reads every word of it.
Yes, he was reading them yesterday morning.
Reading aloud. We were trying to work. He's reading, listen to what this person said. And he's not reading just the big reviews. He's also reading, Bob's opinion,
Everything on any blog in the world.
Anything. Oh, they got it. Oh, they missed the point. Oh, and he goes back and forth like that. And it makes me crazy because I don't read the reviews. I don't want the feedback that way. But the radio show, it's so interesting because I sit here and I have this little instant messenger thing in front of me that has a list of who's calling about what on which line so I can go to it. And this is my only contact with people who are listening to the show. And then, today there was this big conference call where, Rob and Mark and those guys talked to, Crasher and Spicoli and our guys. Their guys are named, Rob and Mark. Our guys are Crasher and Spicoli. And they're talking about the show and how it's going. And they talk about, this guy in radio in San Francisco has been listening to our show, and here's his comments. I don't have any sense that we're being listened to. So when I go into the theater, I'm rather needy. I go, Robbie, did you hear the show today? And he goes, yeah, it was a good show. And I feel great. Bert comes in. Bert, who's very professional and just is always pleasant, always sweet, always pro. She said last night that she heard the show that day on the radio, and I, melted. I was But, and
Bert
so,
has very high standards.
Very high standards. And she loved Randy and Provenza. Didn't mention you or me, but she loved Randy and Provenza. And
she said nice things about me.
Okay. We look at the list, and we mention something we talk about pretty heavy subjects. We're talking about, gypsy scams the other day. We've, talked a lot about evolution, intelligent design.
Blood typing,
Blood typing, bone marrow. Talk about all that stuff, and the phones do okay. A few people call. But we start talking about words that annoy people, and the lines just light
it's
up.
Down, yeah. The phones
so,
are down.
So just read the list that people have called in with just during the break. Now, maybe a lot of you want to, if you called in with a word you hate, and especially Renee, just put your fingers in your ears right now and sing to yourself, because we're going to read the whole list of words that bother people. Go ahead, hit it.
Moist, placenta, boss, mechanically separated chicken, criteria,
mechanically ointment. Mechanically separated chicken, is that one phrase?
I guess
or
that
three
is.
Separate words?
And then there's another guy who hates the word but.
But, yeah.
That's
a
bad word.
I'm like that. There is a word.
There is a word that bugs you. Okay.
The word
never
boobs.
Gets there.
the boobs.
Okay.
You know, that bothers me. And you know the word crap, too.
I know you knew that one, yes.
I hate that word.
It took me 2 years to quit writing that in scripts.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
crossed out every time
and
I put that in.
Everybody uses that. It's part of this radio baby talk, you know, where, you know, you can't use the word that everybody uses. You can't use the word everybody uses for crap, so you use the word crap. And that makes me crazy. And the word boobs seems to lack so much dignity and friendliness, you know. And the thing that bothers me most is that women use that even more than guys. And I can't say, it's astonishing, but the word that I like for breasts, the colloquial word, right. the slang word, I'm really not supposed to say. The FCC isn't thrilled about
sure.
it. Of course, we don't know, because the FCC won't give you rules. They just go, oh, in the past, this is
they didn't call it and tell us what words they hate.
No, they didn't. They didn't. If you have, wow, wouldn't that be cool? If the FCC called and just said, we're going to give you the list, Penn. You don't have to worry about it. But boobs and crap for me. And what bothers me is the guy that called in and said he hates the word boss. Because I use the word boss all the time.
Right.
After the show, we stand outside the theater and we talk to folks and occasionally take a picture or sign an autograph, you know, or mostly talk to folks. And I'm always afraid of saying man or bro, because I'll sound like some, you know, wimpy biker wannabe. And that makes me uncomfortable. And I don't like to go sir and ma'am, because sometimes people wearing baggy shirts or young or something like that. And I, you know, I'm blind as a bat.
Right.
I don't hear well. So, I'm always afraid I'll get the wrong sex, which is always embarrassing. So my solution to that is to call everyone boss. And maybe that's because my dad was a jail guard, you know.
Right.
And prisoners use the word boss. Like when I use the word boss to friends of mine who are...
I saw Cool Hand Luke. Yeah, we all use the word boss.
Yeah. Or was a graduate, you know, people who have been in prison.
Right.
They're kind of bothered by the word boss. You know, they don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, and now I'm bothered. Now I'm self-conscious. Because it's like when I say to this guy when he calls up, hey, man, how you doing, boss? It's kind of like me saying, hey, how you doing, crap boobs? You know?
Yeah, sure.
Same feeling for him as a mechanically separated chicken.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say those words that often. But the word boss really kind of bummed me.
Okay.
The word butt I feel kind of similar to, except now I have a child. And so that word comes up a lot. The words you never use, like tush.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not Jewish, you know.
Body.
I don't speak baby talk like that, but tush is, I guess, the common expression for ass.
Tushy.
Yeah, tushy. Yeah. And the other thing good about having a baby, they never tell you about, you know, you had kids before I did.
Yes.
So you gave me a lot of advice. You didn't tell me how cool it is when they fall down. Cuz you know, I love human beings falling down.
Yes.
And I love my daughter more than anything. I don't want her to get hurt. But she's just starting to walk now.
She's at that falling down age.
She's at that Bruce Valanche on the escalator age, and it's really funny. And I read in the local Vegas paper today, I read about Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I've met Tyra Banks a few times because she was friends with an old girlfriend of mine. I guess I met her like several times, but I don't really remember any conversations I had with her. Or I don't think I could pick her out of a lineup or something, but she's a very famous model for those. Everybody knows that, right?
Yes, everybody.
Me saying Tyra Banks is a very famous model.
That would be
model.
Enough. You can yeah, stop.
Just say Tyra Banks. She was in Jubilee, and Jubilee...
Filling in.
Well, for her show. They act like she's filling
in. She wasn't, nobody was sick and she wasn't covering.
No.
Okay.
So she comes out not topless, even though Jubilee's a topless show, but she comes out in a spangled bra and G-string with one of those big headdresses
right.
on.
A lot of rhinestones.
We used to play the hotel that has it in there, and she comes down and they said she fell down. And I'm reading in the paper. I can't even see it. Right? I'm reading the paper, and I'm trying to look. And, you know, I'm saying to Godot, what I'm yelling out to Godot is, check out this alligator. He used to walk on two legs. Let's look into this Pope saying that Islam can't be reformed. That's what I'm saying. But what I'm really doing is I'm really going, Tyra Banks fell down. And I'm hoping she has a really big headdress because When I used to date the woman who is now the fire eater in our show. She eats fire.
Sure.
Georgie.
She
eats fire in our show and does a great job. We eat fire together and she's a wonderful fire eater. And she now gets her clothes ripped off by a monkey because, you know, we write the show ourselves. And, we used to date, you know, 10, 12 years ago, whatever. And she was the lead dancer in Jubilee then, which means she would come out topless with big things on her head.
Right.
And she said that once she's wearing these big high shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right near the front of the stage.
Right.
Now, this is like everything I love in the world is in this one story. And I used to make her tell it to me over and over again, like it was a penthouse letter or something. She's out there in this big headdress, uh-huh. and the headdresses are a backpack. They're like sure. a knapsack. You know this because yes. your wife was a show.
She's
showgirl.
Also well known for tumbling downstairs.
Is she?
I don't know if you knew that.
Is she? Is that
the lead singer in the Follies tumbled down the stairs, I believe, 3 times.
Oh.
And there's, you know, it's 40 or 50 gold-covered lit upstairs with a microphone. And so you know that that's got to sound good. Ba-dunk, ba-dunk, ba-dunk.
And was she topless?
No. No, she was a singer, so the singers don't do topless for some
but
reason.
She would have.
She would have. But I don't know. You know, the singers, they don't let them do topless. I don't.
Because her falling down the stairs, there would also be
it's
some
funny enough. It's funny enough dressed, but naked.
So Georgie is out there, and she's topless with a backpack, so she can't
right.
really bend that much, mm-hmm. right? And she's got these big shoes on, right? And she starts to fall forward, okay? And she falls forward directly into the audience. She's just going right into the audience, falling forward. And the guy in the front row, who's kind of a big guy in the front row, reaches up and puts a hand on each breast and breaks her fall and then pushes her back up with just the right amount of force that she's back to standing.
He's a hero.
Oh, such a hero. Such a hero. Because you're sitting there in the audience, and this is, you know, someone called in and said, you know, why did you become an atheist? The question is, you know, everybody's born atheist. You're not born with a religion. If you're born in somewhere in Tibet, you're not going to be a Christian at 5 years old. You're born with no religion, and then it comes. So why? The question is, if you're sitting in the audience of Jubilee and you're looking at, there's what, 100 topless women?
106 foot.
So, you know, 100.
Mostly naked women.
170 breasts or so. And you're.
Roughly.
It's going to be an even number, probably, because they're so close-minded in Vegas. And you're sitting there and you're praying. You're praying to whoever you believe in. Boy, I'd like to get my hands on just two of those breasts. And in the show Jubilee, which is an okay show, you're also praying, boy, I wish I could have something funny. If something funny would happen, if I could get my hands on those breasts, sitting there nursing your, you know, you get, what, 4 drinks with this,
right?
Show?
Yeah.
Sitting there nursing those four.
They bring all four at once,
diet,
which is really funny.
All four. I mean, all the drinks at once. So you get your four, you know, Diet Cola beverages, sure. You know, and your little table tent. And the show is, I believe the show Jubilee is longer than Showa. It's like 7 hours long. And they also, you know, they sink the Titanic on stage,
yes.
And they do all this stuff. See, think of the Titanic
as that's funny.
In very, very good taste, you know.
Yes.
Like, what are they going to be doing? In 20 years in Vegas, 30 years in Vegas, it'll be like, oh, real planes flying to the World Trade Center. I mean,
yes.
The Titanic was a horrible disaster. So you're sitting there saying, oh, Jesus, please, Yetwah, God, Jehovah, please let me get my hands on those breasts and please let something funny happen. And the lead dancer lose them and push you right back up. Oh, now that man has to be like Pat Robertson. That man has to be, he must be, brothers! Sisters, I had an experience in Las Vegas, Sin City, the capital, and I was praying to God. I was born, brothers and sisters, and I was praying to God, and God delivered me two B breasts right in my ass to push them right back onto the stage and laugh for the rest of the night. And I have a story, brothers and sisters. I can tell. I can testify. They would win me over so
that
fast.
That was the sign you
One
were looking for?
One simple answered prayer. That's all I need. All I need is for a set of breasts to fall in my hands. That's not all I need. I'd also need some, like, real evidence. And some. But it makes a much
but
better
it'd be a good start.
And I was leading
it?
Up to the end of the show, see? And even if it's not true, if you lead up to the end of the show, so, okay, this is not true. It's
okay.
Not all I need. Brothers, my hands, push them back up till they are backstanding, and I will believe. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Ben Gillette.